Our reading today is from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians in the third chapter, beginning to read at the 14th verse. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the Church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. May I speak this morning in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our little recorded service for this week. And I hope that as I record this message that you and your household are well in the midst of all that's going on around us. Today was supposed to be a service of wholeness and healing in our service. But I wanted to zone in this morning on that topic of the healing power of prayer, because I believe it's one of the greatest gifts in any of our lives to be able to pray. Being able to talk to the Lord and to entrust our worries and our concerns to him is something so precious indeed. And I wanted together to look at a little prayer from Scripture, the prayer that we heard in our Bible reading, a prayer of St. Paul to the Ephesians. And it was a prayer that was prayed when he was, like many, I suspect, at the present time, in isolation. St. Paul was chained to a Roman guard. He was imprisoned for being a follower of Jesus and for calling upon his name. And so he knew all about isolation. But this prayer that I've chosen this morning is a prayer that I myself have often shared with people in their homes or in hospitals. And I reckon, like many prayers and passages of scriptures, it's always interesting and important to see what has just come before it. In the preceding verse, St. Paul asks the Ephesians not to be discouraged because of his sufferings for them, which are their glory. Discouragement is something that in the Christian life we feel perhaps quite easily about all sorts of things. We get discouraged, for example, when we don't see many people responding to the Christian gospel, when people fail to see its relevance to their lives, and when our prayers are perhaps not answered in the way we'd hoped for or expected. We get discouraged. We get discouraged too when we feel we no longer have control over our lives. And I think that's a scenario that is happening very much at the present time, where the guidelines seem to change constantly, and we're all left floundering and wondering how to react. So it's hard, or it's discouraging, to lose even that illusion of control. And the thing is, when we get discouraged, when we feel low in ourselves, it's easy to heed the negative voices in our head that tell us not to bother to pray, that no one will be interested anyway, the voices that tell us that prayer doesn't make any difference whatsoever. And yet, my friends, when someone tells you that they are praying for you, is this not the most beautiful and important thing to hear? I was in to visit one of our oldest parishioners some time ago. It was over a year ago, and she had just celebrated her 100th birthday, and she showed me her letter from the Queen and from the Irish President on that special occasion of her 100th birthday. And while she lamented her failing hearing with me, she spoke with great warmth and enthusiasm about her faith in Christ. And as she shared with me of how she loves to spend a daily quiet time reading her books of Bible readings and praying for her family and others, she said to me very simply, "Rector, I don't know what I would do without him." And she said, "I can't understand those people who pay him no attention." And then she very gently took my hand and she said, "I know it's frustrating for you having to shout at a deaf old lady. But," she said, "I want you to know that I pray for you and your wife and your children every night." And I felt so incredibly grateful for this lady's prayers and for countless others like her who pray faithfully for me and for all that happens here in this place week by week. I've had lots of lovely messages over recent days from people telling me they're praying for our family and for me, and we need all those prayers all the time. But just as you pray for me, be assured that I am praying for you. I'm praying for every household on our parish lists in the church today. And I'm not allowed to have anybody else in here, but I am praying here for you today. In this prayer, St. Paul displays a real attitude of humility in the first instance. He's prepared to sit or to kneel before his heavenly Father. And in this beautiful prayer, he prays, we notice, not so much for the externals of his life, but actually what's going on the inside of their lives, the Ephesians' lives. I'm one of those people who tend to respond in prayer to what's going on the surface. I see a situation of sickness and I will pray for the healing of that sickness. Or I will hear about a relationship that has broken down and I will pray for reconciliation and for healing. But St. Paul in this wonderful prayer seems to go a great deal deeper than that. He prays that these Ephesians, this community of faith, would be strengthened by God's Spirit in their inner being, and that Christ would dwell in their hearts by faith. I think this crisis that we are living through right now is a very, very important season to ask ourselves about our inner life. How are things within our souls today as we listen to this service? Are they content or are they restless? Are we worried and anxious about all kinds of things? have we got lots and lots of questions to the point where we're almost demanding answers from the government, from those in authority over us, from God Himself. In praying for their inner life, St. Paul prays something that's so simple and yet so profound that it really touches me to hear his earnestness in praying for it. He prays that they would be rooted and established in love, and then able to grasp even a glimpse of the height, width, length, and depth of the love of Christ for them. And that's the key, isn't it, to so much peace? Having a fresh revelation of how deeply and immensely and totally you are beloved of God. If you could get even a little glimpse of it, says St. Paul, it would transform and bless and heal you beyond measure. I remember sharing this prayer once with a friend of mine who was in prison. And faith had become an important part of her life, but things in prison weren't easy. Both her fellow prisoners and the prison guard seemed to pick on her because of her Christian faith that she had recently found. And I encouraged her to pray for those people who were making her life difficult using this prayer, that they would be strengthened by God in their inner being, that they would be able to see something of the love of Christ for them. And that last beautiful phrase in the prayer, that they would be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Would you like to pray something really powerful and beautiful for someone else at this present time? Pray that they would be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. What a wonderful thing to pray for someone else. When I next saw my friend some months later, to be honest, I had forgotten our previous conversation. I'd forgotten completely what I had read to her on that occasion. And yet when we started to talk, she spoke to me about this amazing prayer that we're thinking about together this morning. And she spoke about how it had completely changed her. She said, "You cannot pray things like what's contained in that prayer and continue to hate someone. In praying for those who were in many respects my enemies," she said, "I found that my heart was changed." So maybe you're listening to this little service today and you're carrying burdens or hurts towards people who've mistreated you or hurt you or been a negative influence in your life. And when we're spending a lot of time, maybe on our own or in isolation, or maybe we're feeling really, really worried about our current circumstances, all of these feelings can really heighten our sense of antagonism towards those who have maybe mistreated us in the past. I want to ask something challenging of you. Can you pray for their inner life, that they would know more of the love Christ has for them, and that they would be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God? That's an incredible prayer of blessing upon those you love. And it's a prayer also of healing, perhaps for those that you might find a challenge. And may God use this wonderful prayer of St. Paul to bring healing and blessing to you and to others today. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you today for the gift of prayer. We thank you that it is a way in which we can feel connected to you and to others. We thank you today for all those people, often hidden and unknown to us, who are praying for us. When we feel weak or frightened or inadequate, we thank you that you give us strength in our weakness to get through the challenges that we face. So today we humble ourselves before you, and we ask you to help us, to protect us, to heal us, and to get a new insight into your love for us. And may we all experience that love even now, as we worship together in Jesus' name. Amen. As we are learning together about being a church without walls, we thank you, Lord, for the new ways that we have of staying in touch. And we pray today for all who don't have access to the technology that has been a lifeline for so many in recent days and weeks. We pray for those who do not have access or know how to use the internet in their sense of isolation and being cut off. And we ask this morning that they would be given the reassurance of your presence and your love in these troubled times. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Today we also want to pray especially for the businesses in our local area. Some of them forced to close at the present time. We pray, Lord, for their staff and for the support that they have offered our community over many years. We give you thanks for that. And Lord, we pray that you would provide for their every need at this time. We pray for the owners of our local businesses, for their health and their families' health. We pray for the financial resources to keep going. We pray for access to groceries and medicines and all their daily needs. So today in our prayers, we remember all the staff at Austin's Pharmacy, all the staff at Maud's Ice Cream Parlour, all who work in Toast Cafe, in Hamilton's news agencies, in Lismar Bakery, in the Museum of Orange Heritage, and the cafe at the museum. We pray for all the staff at Southeast Family Practice, the doctors and practice nurses, the receptionists, and all who work there. We pray for Alison and her team at Craiga Library, for Phil, our community policeman. And we ask, Lord, that you would pour out your blessing on all these people who've served us so well and upon their families at this time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We also want to pray today for those who are working on the front line. We pray for the staff in the NHS. We pray for supermarket staff, for delivery drivers, refuse collectors. We pray for undertakers, for caterers, and for those providing care in the community. We pray too today for our government trying to set up financial packages to assist individuals, families, and businesses through these difficult times. We pray for bus and train and taxi drivers, for those involved in any way in transport and logistics, in electricity and gas supplies, and providing essential services. May they all be given strength and compassion in the testing conditions that they face. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And finally, we're going to take some moments of quiet for your own prayers. Prayers perhaps for yourself and for your loved ones, and for those whom you are carrying in your hearts as you listen in today. We bring them into the healing presence of God. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we join all our prayers together in the prayer our Saviour Christ taught us to pray, as we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen.